Hello and welcome to the MAN Panel 4. I'm so excited that you've decided to join us for this wonderful annual event, and I'm so excited to be featuring these men who are here to share generously their wisdom and insights so that you can have better relationships and understand more about what's going on with men. And I'm really excited to welcome back a returning guest. He's a favorite from the listeners, and that is the wonderful Ken Bechtel. Welcome, Ken.
Hey, Michelle. Hey, everybody.
So happy to have you back.
Yeah, it's always fun to be here.
And we're going to talk about a great topic today. We're going to be talking about two myths and a secret about men and commitment. This is obviously a very hot topic for women out there, so I can't wait to hear what you have to share. Before we jump in though, Ken, I want to give a formal introduction, even though I know many of our listeners will be familiar with you and your work. So for over 20 years, Ken Bechtel has shared his insights and amusement as a partnership mentor, speaker, and educator to help women get their needs met and to be loved for all of their unique beauty. As the creator of the Finding Success in Love program, he brings you the real story from a man's perspective of what it takes to be adored by a great guy. He's also the creator and host of the wildly popular Speaking of Partnership podcast that is heard in over 100 countries around the world. Ken interviews the world's leading relationship experts so you can learn from their personal stories of partnership pitfalls and payoffs. You can learn more about Ken at kenbechtel.com. Okay, so Ken, tell me why you decided to choose this topic of two myths and a secret about men and commitment.
Well, as you said, getting commit is a hot topic, and it seems to bewilder women as to who it takes. So I thought I'd clear the air around.
Okay, well, I'm excited to hear what you have to say, and why don't we just jump right in and have you share with us a little bit about why men don't commit in the first place, and then I'm sure you're going to get into the two secrets and all of that stuff. So let's just jump right in.
Sounds good. So let's just start with the first myth, because the first myth is exactly that: men don't commit.
Okay.
The truth is, men commit before women do. Because think about it, if a man asks you out, he has to be committed to going out with you, to getting to know you, potentially being in a relationship with you, which means he's so committed, he's willing to risk being rejected. Every single time he interacts with you, he has to commit to something greater than the fear of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And every man has that fear of rejection. So where you think he's not committing, he's committed before you even thought about it. And you act like it's no big deal. So men are always committing first. Now, if you're talking about, I want to know about, how do you get him to commit to marriage or a long-term committed relationship? Well, that's simple. The thing that's happening is men commit to women and men marry women who they are convinced they can make happy.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, if you're not being clear about that and somehow you've convinced him he can't make you happy, you're always complaining, he never does enough, you don't let him know when he makes you happy because you're afraid that'll make you look desperate or pathetic or needy, he won't think he can make you happy. See, we're hardwired as men. We're compelled to contribute to your happiness. And I want you to understand that word, compelled. It's not a choice. We are hardwired to do it. So we're going to be compelled to do that. Now, if we're not seeing that we're making you happy, that we're contributing to your happiness, this is why men actually leave women by saying, you deserve someone who can make you happy. And every time a woman hears that, they think it's a cop-out. You could make me happy, but he's been convinced by his interactions with you that that's not possible. So he's so committed to your happiness, he would rather get out of the way of your happiness than keep you from being happy. That's how committed men are to you. But because you don't know this, you think they're just bailing. No, you have convinced them. So if you can think back and you're like, oh, I've heard that a number of times. You got some work to do because you're hiding your happiness. And I just wrote an article on this today. I was talking to a woman who told me that she couldn't tell the man she was totally in love with. She's like, he's the best relationship I've ever had. I want to get married to him and start a family. And she said, I can't tell him I love him or I'll lose my power. Mm-hmm. That will destroy any relationship. And you can imagine how much anxiety she had now, because she's sitting there going, what if he never says it? What if he doesn't say it in the timeline I have? Because she didn't want to waste time in a long-term relationship that didn't go anywhere.
Right.
So she had, in her mind, come up with a deadline. But he didn't know it. And she's withholding, as she called it, I withhold my big emotions. So this is one of the things to understand. It's a total myth that men don't commit. I promise you, they've committed before you have. It's just a different form than what you're looking for. And if you're looking for the bigger picture, lifelong commitment, he's got to be convinced he can make you happy or it's not going to happen.
Yeah. So there's a few things there that I kind of want to go a little deeper with, Ken. Is that okay?
Sure. Yeah.
So the first thing is this idea that you're framing up, I think is really powerful, that men have already made a commitment by asking you out, by taking that step toward you. And I think that it sometimes is missed on women how much of a risk or how much a man is really putting himself out there on a limb when he does that sort of thing, right? Sure. That has to, having not been a man, I've not experienced that, but I would imagine that has to take a lot of courage.
It's scary.
Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. And I appreciate you emphasizing that, because it is a mini commitment. Maybe it's not the big commitment.
Yes.
But it is a commitment. And it has to feel pretty big for men at times, particularly if they are invested or really want to have a woman receive their invitation favorably and graciously. The second piece is I'm troubled quite frequently by, and I want to hear your take on this. I'm troubled quite frequently, and this is going a little bit off track from what you were saying, but is related, by articles or videos or things that I see saying how to make a man commit or how to get a man to commit. Because in my mind, when I read that, I'm sort of triggered by those kind of headlines, even though I know they might be great clickbait, because I'm like, really, do you really want to be in the business of making a man commit or getting a man to commit? It's the language around it makes it sound sort of manipulative, right? And that's not what I believe sets us up for a great partnership. So I know that's not what you're saying, but I want to hear what you're thoughts are on this.
Yeah, no, this is a great point, because you're right. There's thousands of those articles out there. Mm-hmm. And women flock to them. Mm-hmm. Because you want to be able to make this happen. I want you to hear what I just said. Make this happen. That's very masculine. Mm-hmm. So you're being masculine. Are you looking for a man who's looking for a man?
Not most women are not. No.
Probably not. That's why you're looking for a man. So this is another thing that happens. You're being the best man in the room. Mm-hmm. Stop it. Be the beautiful, amazing woman that you are. And part of that is being happy. Let him know you're happy. This is not a bad thing. So you're right. There's all these articles out there telling you, you got to make this happen, make this happen. The scary part is trusting that it's not about making something happen. Trusting that you're actually lovable without trying to force the issue, and just being you, being happy, excited, thrilled to be there. And it's got to be genuine, because then otherwise it is manipulative and it's not serving you, right? It's like faking an orgasm.
Right.
Who's that benefit? Nobody. You just trained him that what he did was great for you and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Guess what he's going to do the next time?
The same thing.
Same thing. And then you'll be like, sex sucks. Well, what was that? You told him what you like, you don't. Or vice versa. So again, it's got to be genuine. Because think about it, you're setting the foundation for your life. Do you want this man to commit to you, but he really doesn't know how to make you happy? Does that look like a great future? See, it works on both sides. But it's not about what you do or what you make happen. It's about who you are and who you're being. And that feels passive, but it's not. That's the place that you think about how you are with your best friends. Do you make them like you?
Mm-mm.
No. Why you like them so much is because you can just relax and be yourself. And you don't question that they're going to be fine with you, even when you do goofy stuff. You may say something that's rude and they could forgive you. Why? Because you're genuinely you. You're giving them that opportunity to actually love you, your true essence, your true self. But when we don't do this, because we think we have to make things happen, we have to control the situation in a romantic relationship, we shoot ourselves in the foot. So that's the stop trying to make it happen. Trust that it will when you're being your true self. So the guy who's really a match for you can go, wow, where have you been hiding?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you said a key word there, control, right? Yeah. I think that if there's a feeling of needing to control in a relationship on either side, that's not setting us up for really the healthiest of relationships. And at the end of the day, we all want to be, I think our deepest human desire is to be loved and accepted for who we really are. Yeah. And so this control or this manipulation, which seems kind of hidden in that language of how to get a man to commit or how to make a man commit to you, is probably not the best way to approach things.
No.
Yeah. So coming again back to what you said, men want to commit to women that they know they can succeed with, that they can make happy. So give us a couple of tangible examples of what that might look like, Ken.
Letting him know you enjoyed whatever he did, appreciating him for something he did, actually expressing how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's this belief that whoever cares the least has the most power.
Yeah, I think we've all heard that one.
Really? You want your relationship to be a power play?
Right.
I mean, who would you be more likely to, you know, support and contribute to and love and adore? The person who openly loves you or the person who's always lording their power over you?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want those things, if you want to be adored, you want to be supported, you want to be loved, there's no role for power in this. This isn't about power. Because the most powerful thing in the whole world is love.
Yeah.
So why are we holding back on the best weapon we could have? It's not even a weapon. It's the most incredibly powerfully expansive, growth-oriented thing in the world.
Yeah. It's a force, but a positive force. Yeah. It's a positive force. Absolutely. Yeah. So I think as you're saying this, It reminds me of the ability that we talk about quite frequently in our conversations with women on being willing to be vulnerable. And I really do believe the Brené Brown quote that says, there is no intimacy without vulnerability. And when we are expressing even our appreciation or our joy or our gratitude or that we're enjoying something or expressing feelings or emotions, there is a certain amount of vulnerability that comes with that. And yet it is the vulnerability that begins to open up that possibility for a deeper connection. And
absolutely.
So important.
Yeah. And you know, that actually leads to the second myth, because okay, there's this myth out there that, you know, well, I've got to be powerful. What does that mean? Right. And it's actually, it's so interesting, because it's like this weird little knot that's been tied up in our world, in our brains. So like the biggest thing that keeps men from committing, other than the happiness part, like another component of that, is lacking self-confidence. Now here's the trick. Women have been told that self-sufficiency and independence is self-confidence, but it's actually the opposite. Self-confidence is just as much about being open and honest about when you don't feel powerful as when you do. That's self-confidence. It's, I'm confident wherever I am, good day, bad day, whatever. I'll give you a great example. I was talking to my friend John. John's an attorney, very good looking guy, very fit. I mean, like totally, he would fit anybody's label as a catch. Mm-hmm. Well, he works at an office place, and he said he was going into the office the other day, And a woman who works in his office, who he doesn't know personally, but he's seen her there, was struggling with this huge box she was trying to get out of her car and take into the office. And so he just walked up to her and said, "Hey, can I help you with that?" No, I got it. And he's like, the box was almost as big as her. It was ridiculous.
Right.
Trying to say you can't handle this. It was just like, it would be way easier for me. But she was like, nope, I got it. Well, he said he went into his office, and his office happened to look out over where she was parked. And he looks out the window, and she's wrestling with this thing, and she's getting dirty and all this stuff and sweaty and uncomfortable and frustrated. And he finally sees her get it in, and he's sitting there going, why wouldn't she let me help her? That's an example of lacking self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, there's a lot of stuff out there saying being an independent woman is self-confident. No, it's not. It's actually the opposite. You're not confident enough to let somebody help you. You're not confident enough to go, yeah, that would be awesome. Thank you, random person who just offered this. And here's one of the reasons that happens. Women have been told, oh, here's a third myth I just realized. Women have been told for centuries that anytime a man does anything for you, there's a string attached.
Mm-hmm.
It's a colleague that works in the same building. She knows him. Like, he's safe in the sense of he's not a random stranger. Something about it. Nope. I'll sit here and ruin my day and be pissed off all day long because I had to wrestle with that thing when I had a solution right there. And I'll be honest, men get bewildered. They're just like, I don't get it. Because most men don't know you think there's actually a string attached to everything we do. So there's that denial. I don't want that help because then I'll have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not that sinister. Sure, there's some people out there that try and manipulate things, but that's the minimum. That's the exception, not the rule. And what's unfortunately happened is so many women I talk to, and I'm sure you do too, Michelle, have taken the exception and made it the rule.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this one guy did it once, so I'm not going to trust any guy again. One guy did it once. Is that a valid sample group?
No, very big one.
It doesn't even count. You'd throw it out in any test. It's irrelevant. Well, I 5 guys did it. Great. 5 out of 3.5 billion. Still not a valid sample group. And guess what? Maybe 5 guys did it because that's who you're attracting because of something else is going on in your world. That doesn't mean every guy's like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we get guarded. But here's the thing about being guarded. Not only are you keeping them out, you're not letting your beauty come out. They can't see it. You're behind the wall. So you just trapped yourself. I won't let anybody in, but nobody's ever going to want to come in anyhow because they won't get to see the beauty of me, the sparkle. It won't get to come out. So when we're thinking self-confidence is self-sufficiency, is independence, you're trapped. It will not work. And it's actually going to undermine having a man commit. Because again, what's that mean? He's not going to feel like he can make you happy.
Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you again, I want to go a little deeper with a couple of things here.
Yeah.
I do think you're absolutely right that I think in many women's minds, the idea of being very independent, self-sufficient, not needing anyone, kind of not having needs, even though we all have needs, is kind of their idea of confidence. They're going through the world like, I've got it all handled, right?
Yeah.
And I think that a man can definitely feel that and sense that by the way that we show up. And I can remember, and I've told this story before, but just to illustrate a point really quick, I can remember my husband dating this woman who was very successful prior to the time that he and I dated. And I didn't know her very well personally, but I knew friends of hers and knew enough about her to know she was just amazing, mm-hmm. incredibly accomplished and very impressive woman. And when I could sense that things were going well with he and I, one day I just asked him, I said, you know, hey, whatever happened between you and this woman? And he said, she's so incredible. She's so amazing. He said, I just couldn't really see where I fit in her world or in her life. I couldn't really see where I could make a difference. And I've always remembered that because I don't you know, just knowing a little bit about this woman, I don't think that was the intended message that she was trying to give off. And yet she'd worked so hard for that. And I think this is the case with a lot of women out there. You've worked so hard for that out of absolute need or desire to excel, or just feeling like you needed to handle life all on your own, that it sometimes is hard to kind of let down that I've got it all handled kind of facade. And yet I do believe, like this story that I just told with my husband, men need to mm-hmm. see that their presence in your life is going to make a difference in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the phrases we hear all the time is men need to be needed. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny when I say that to women, they'll be like, yeah, I know. You hate that. It drives you nuts because you think, well, that makes you needy. No, it makes you a partner. You're working together. I hear all the time, I want somebody who's like a teammate, somebody who's a partner, but I won't let them do anything. Then what's their job? What are you letting them in? They're not getting to be a partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can remember, speaking of boxes and carrying boxes, I can remember a friend of mine sharing this story. She was going to give a speaking presentation at this elementary school. And she had she arrived kind of pulled up in front of the school. She had a bunch of things to carry in. And it just so happened it was recess. So she gathered a little crowd of kids. And the little boys were like fighting over who got to help her carry in the stuff. We were talking about this and she said, even in these little boys, they were just falling all over themselves mm-hmm. and wanting to carry boxes that were bigger than them into yep. the school to help her out. And I think what we miss sometimes as women is how important, how significant it is just to allow that opportunity and then express the appreciation for it. Yeah. And what it doesn't mean you have to give back, like you were talking about the third myth on how there's always a string attached. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean there needs to be some quid pro quo reciprocation. That appreciation, that acknowledgement, that allowing him that opportunity is a pretty big deal and is the reward in and of itself.
Yeah, I've actually asked guys, like, when you do something like that, you offer to open a door or carry a box, or what are you looking for in return? And usually they look at me like I'm weird and they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, like, what do you want in return? They're like, a genuine smile and a sincere thank you. They're perplexed at the idea that there's something attached to that. Mm-hmm. Now, part of the reason that women think there is because for you guys, there is. Reciprocation is a very powerful part of the feminine because it helps you feel connected. So think of it this way. When you see one of your girlfriends and you say, oh my God, I love your dress. She doesn't say thank you. She says, oh, your hair looks fabulous.
Right.
Reciprocation. However, if you say to a guy, that's a really great shirt, he'll go, thanks. And you'll be like, where's my compliment? You are wired for strings are attached. That's the connection part. We're not. We're like, what are you talking about? I'm not looking for that. I just was wanting to help. And your comment about little kids, very important because it's such a perfect example. It's not a learned behavior. We're not doing it to manipulate or get to an outcome. That's how we're wired. Now, when they're little kids, we're like, oh, isn't that cute? It's like, why aren't you that open to it as an adult? Because now you think he's sinister. Now you think it's dangerous. No, there's nothing to be afraid of. Yes, you got to have your eyes wide open. If somebody's, you know, off, pay attention to how you feel around that person. But somebody offering to do something for you is just a guy trying to contribute. And it's not because he doesn't think you can. It's because, like my friend John, he's like, I just kept sitting there going, why? I mean, it would be the easiest thing in the world for me to carry this box. And instead she's wrestling with it. Mm-hmm. She could do it. I know she could do it, but she shouldn't have to. Because right. It's really easy for me. I'm a great big guy. I can just pick it up, carry it in, be done. And she'd be like, whoa. But instead, she wouldn't let herself have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. That's a really good example too of what we're talking about here. So Ken, I want to like shift gears a little bit and ask you a question again that comes up often.
Okay.
But it has to do with this whole commitment thing.
Yeah.
So let me see if I can set this up well. Let's just say, and this is a question I've been asked, and I'm sure you have as well. Let's just say a relationship seems to be going well, like they're enjoying each other, they're dating, the relationship seems to be going well, but the man hasn't verbally spoken the words. I know you wrote an article on this, hasn't verbally spoken the words, I love you. And maybe there hasn't been like a talk or any sort of definition around kind of where the relationship is going. Now, I have my opinions about this, but I want to hear what you have to say. You know, so women are like, should I ask him? You know, kind of like, should we have the talk? Should I initiate the talk? And I want to know what your thoughts are around all of this. I have my opinions, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, no, this is, you know, definitely a big topic out there. And the talk, I call it the State of the Union.
State of the Union.
And it's like, where are we? What's going to happen? And I want you to know this, ladies, it's a biological demand. So your biology sets you up to have that conversation. And what I mean is it typically happens around 3 months. It's like this pressure builds and you've got to know what's going on. One, because as a woman, the feminine energy is always out in the future. So you can't really be fully engaged and fully, you know, open to somebody unless you know there's a future. So that's one reason. The reason I hit you at 3 months is because, first trimester. Your biology says, I need to know if this is viable and I keep putting energy into it or it's not. Same thing with a baby. So your body literally requires this. Now, guys, we don't have first trimester, so we don't know this.
Right.
And that's why guys are like, oh, they wanted to have this talk. They always want to have this talk. Yeah, they have to. So know that this is just a part of how you're made up. And some of you are going, oh, I've waited 9 months. I'm like, God bless you. I don't know how you did it. Because I promise you, your biology was asking for that information. So this is literally one of your needs. For you to be your best in that relationship, you need to have that understanding. And until you know that about yourself and really understand how that works, it's very hard to express that need. So when you're sitting there going, I don't know why, but I really need to know this, and he doesn't seem to want to talk about it. It's not usually that he doesn't seem to want to talk about it. What I've found is it's typically you're afraid he won't want to talk about it. And you're also afraid, what if he says, yeah, I'm not interested in a long-term relationship. So you're afraid of a possible answer. So instead you avoid asking the question. And it's a very common coping mechanism. But like all coping mechanisms, they're short term.
Right.
You can't hold your breath forever.
Right.
So there's that limit. And you need to go be aware for yourself. Is this compromising you being your best in that relationship? If it is, it has to be addressed. If it's not, okay, fine, that's your choice then. But we all know, we can tell when we're like, I'm just waiting, or the woman that I was sharing with you earlier, she literally had come up with a deadline for when this guy had to say he loved her, which was 6 months, and they were at 4.5 months. Imagine the anxiety she was having. And she admitted, she goes, I'm actually kind of trying to almost trick him into saying it so that the pressure would release. But she had never told him there was this deadline that she had made up in her head. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. So it's not about what's going on. It's you need to know this. To be your best with him, you need to know that. And so you need to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, is there a possibility that it won't go anywhere? Yep. But wouldn't you rather find that out sooner than later?
Yeah.
It's going to hurt one way or the other. If that's the case, it's going to hurt.
Yeah. So what do you recommend as far as the best way of having that conversation? How do you recommend that a woman expresses her need to understand or know more about where things are at, the state of the union.
Mm-hmm. So what do you, I'm not following exactly.
I'm wondering, like, if, how you recommend she talk about it? How does she bring it up? What's the best way for her to say it?
Well, one thing that I always recommend is you need to, first of all, know what your love language is. Because there are some people that don't need to hear those words.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people that do. So if you don't know what the five love languages is, you can just look it up online, five love languages, Dr. Gary Chapman. There's a little quiz there. But it, what it does, it tells you how you experience love. So it could be words of affection. It could be physical touch. There's obviously five different ways.
Right.
Now, what's important is, yes, it's important for you to know it, but usually it just confirms what you already knew about yourself. What's really important is for them to know it. Because then your partner knows, oh, if your experience of love is physical touch, and let's say his is acts of service, which is very common for men,
mm-hmm.
he won't realize that doing acts of service for you doesn't mean anything. But if he just walked up and gave you a big hug or came up behind you while you were doing something and kissed you on the neck, that would be priceless. But because it's not his, he doesn't know it's yours. So he doesn't get it. He doesn't have the same payoff for him. So it's a very valuable tool. But knowing that, and what is the reasoning? Why do I need to know this? Well, because I feel like I'm nervous. I need to know where our future is. I want to love you completely, but I feel like I'm holding back because I'm uncertain what's going on. That's a very honest thing. Is it vulnerable? Yeah. All emotions are vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to just be candid about it and do it from the I perspective. This isn't, I need you to. That's not the I perspective.
Right.
It's, I realize I need this to be my best with you. And then you expand on that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would recommend. But it's got to come from the I perspective. It's very easy because we get to the point where we're frustrated. Why doesn't he ever say this? I need to know. And now there's this tension, and all of a sudden we unleash on them. I need you to do this something different. Well, guess what that sounds like to him? You don't make me happy.
Right.
You're a failure. I'm complaining. Men don't want to be part of the problem. They want to be part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
When you ask it from a my perspective, you're like, could you help me with something? I need XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get a lot further than you need to change.
Mm-hmm.
Men don't want to change. They want to grow. It's the same thing. It's just different language.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the five love languages, I think that's a really powerful tool because it does allow you to express to someone else some of the things that would be so meaningful for you and vice versa. And understanding that it's a tool I use all the time with my clients as well, because I think it's incredibly important and incredibly powerful. Because how can someone even provide us with what we are wanting and needing if we don't even know what we want or need and are not able to express that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's another myth in another direction, is that the right person should automatically know exactly how
yeah.
to make us happy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the only reason we want that is because we don't feel deserving of what we need. So we're afraid to ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what if we ask for it and they said, what makes you think you deserve that? And we can't answer it. That's a terrifying question. We have to own that we're worthy of our needs. And most people have been trained the opposite. A lot of people grew up in an environment where there was no room for your needs. So you never learned how to have needs. You never saw it. And so it's like, I can't do that. Now you can fix that programming, but it's you know, it can be a real tough challenge if you don't have any idea how to do it and you really don't feel like you deserve things.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's a big distinction between having needs, because I think we all have needs, and being needy, right?
Totally different.
They're totally different. And I think sometimes people interpret having needs as being needy, and they're not the same.
Mm-hmm. No, not even close.
And that's a big distinction.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we don't connect with the right people, or probably the healthiest people, if we're in a place of being really needy. We've all met people, or maybe we've even been that person for a time when we're feeling really needy. And no matter how you might try to mask that, or someone might try to mask that, that's going to come through. And that's a totally different thing than having needs and recognizing what your needs are. And even taking it one step further, like even connecting with what your wants and your desires are, because I believe it's good to understand those too. That doesn't mean one person can fulfill everything, but understanding that about yourself can help you get more of what you want.
Yeah. And again, you said something it was very subtle, but it's in there, and this is what's important. It's not about help them do it for you. Your needs are yours to take care of. If you have a partner that helps you in that and supports you in that, fantastic. But it's like water, right? You need water. We all need water. Well, it's not somebody else's job to pour water down your face. It's your job to drink enough water. Now, if you have somebody who's like, hey, did you drink enough today? You know, they're bringing you a coffee, they're bringing you whatever. Great. But your needs, you need to be committed to taking care of first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And if you won't even do that for yourself, and a lot of people don't, then that's where you become needy, because that's what needy is. Needy is, I want somebody else to put their time and energy into take care of my needs, because I won't even take care of them for myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's needy.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody likes that. You don't like it if somebody did that to you.
Yeah.
But that's not because you have needs. We all have needs. It's how are you approaching your needs?
Right. Right. So I want to ask you kind of a question that's sort of related.
More questions.
No. More questions. Come on, Ken.
Okay. All
indulge
right.
Me. Indulge me. This is just something I want to get your opinion on. You know how you hear this advice of you want to date three men at the beginning, in the early stages. You want to kind of date one man and another man and three men. And I think the intention behind it is so you don't get too overly focused. This is advice for women.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get too overly focused on any one man too fast before there's, you know, something there, before it's had time to develop and grow. So I hear people in our industry giving this recommendation and advice. And this is another one that feels a little perhaps manipulative to me, because I could never successfully do that as a single woman.
Mm-hmm.
I would always tend to like one person more than another, and that would be pretty clear pretty fast. And then if I were dating more than one person, which I did a couple of times, it pretty quickly started feeling like I wasn't really being fair to that other person. And so trying to think about having three kind of going, even if it's in the early stages, to me has always felt a little bit off. And I think at least for me, and I think the intention behind it makes some sense, but it kind of feels like another way to kind of try to manipulate to get someone to commit to you sooner because they feel like they've got so much competition or whatever. I don't know. I just am wondering what your thoughts are on that in general. I know it's kind of a random question,
yeah,
but I've had a couple of women ask me about it lately, and I would like to hear your perspective.
So yes, it's a very common thing out there.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, it's about as random as anything I've ever heard.
Okay.
Why isn't it five? Why isn't it seven? Why isn't it two? Yes, the idea is that it distracts you from this, but distraction doesn't solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not addressing that you're becoming codependent, or that you're fixating on somebody, or that you're making all these, you know, expectations without involving them. We're not addressing any of that. all you're doing is distracting yourself. Now, one thing it can do is help you get over any idea of scarcity. Mm-hmm. Right? I had one woman, I remember that she came up to me and I'm like, how are you doing? She goes, I had 3 dates today. And I was like, awesome. And she goes, it feels so good to feel wanted. So she was, where that served her was she was getting over the idea that I'd be lucky to find a date, whatever, whatever, whatever. It's like, here's 3 guys that are interested in you. Does it mean they're, you know, long-term matches? No. But just that is a great step, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, the reason I'm not an advocate for that is that it's not addressing the real issue. Mm-hmm. And you've got to learn, like, oh, cool. Where am I doing unhealthy things instead of just going, let's just get so busy we don't notice that we're doing them, or hopefully it'll keep us from doing it because we're busy. Mm-hmm. And as far as like, this will make a man commit faster, now we have myth number 4.
We're getting bonus myths here.
Bonus myths, ladies. What's that based on? First of all, most of the time, the guy doesn't know you're dating other people. So that's not motivating him. You would have to tell him. Mm-hmm. And secondly, that's what dating is. Unless you're dating exclusively, the definition of dating is seeing multiple people to find out who's a match. Mm-hmm. So by definition, you're probably seeing more than one person. No one should be surprised. So to me, there might be some random examples of that, but it is not a rule. But that's going to make men, oh, there's competition. They're dating you. They're not not competing with the other guys. If they don't feel like they can make you happy, if you're not a match for them, they're not going to go, but I'm going to ask you to marry me just because there's some other guys after you.
Right.
That's not how we work. And again, would you want that for your relationship foundation? Really? I was just the one they chased after because they were afraid that somebody else would get here first.
Right.
It's not really, you know, a good foundation to build on.
Right.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the way I've heard it positioned in the past is that you would actually tell them all that you were dating other people by saying something. You wouldn't be sleeping with any of them, but you would be saying, you know, I can't imagine enjoying spending time more with anyone than you. I am still seeing other people, and you're kind of letting them know. But for me, what it comes down to for me is really basic. I just could never do that, right? So I'm not going to.
Yeah, and some people are. They're like, I don't feel good about that. It's not comfortable for me.
Yeah.
And again, the idea of, telling them all you're dating other people, we know this. That's what dating is. Mm-hmm. It's women who are wired, because women don't date, they have relationships. That's why you want guys to write a great big book for their profile, because you want to be able to totally see the relationship before you have coffee.
Right.
And I had a woman do this one time. It still blew my mind, but it was so revealing because it was exactly this. So she had met this gentleman on a group hike that he had actually coordinated. So he was the leader of it, and they'd hit it off. And he contacted her and said, hey, would you like to get together for a drink? And so she said, yeah, and she was excited about this. And literally she tells me, hey, we're going to get together for a drink on Saturday. I'm very excited, but he wouldn't want to move here. And I'm like, what? And she goes, well, he lives like 40 miles away. And well, I'm not moving where he lives. And I'm like, you're having a drink.
Right.
You're planning who's moving in? Right. She hadn't even sat down with him one-on-one yet. But that's how the feminine, again, remember, in the future. So your brain is wired to think like that. So women want to go, how soon can we find out you're off the market? Because I want to know this. That's why women are so committed to, he better get off Match. He better get off his dating site. It's like, you're dating. You've gone out once. He's not getting off the dating site. He's dating. He's not relationshiping.
Right.
And again, it doesn't mean he doesn't like you. It simply means you're not at that point yet. So, again, my experience is The reasoning, I understand why people have put this out here as a rule of thumb to use, but it's not really founded on how men work. It's founded on how women wish men worked. That's my
Opinion. Thank you. Thank you for indulging me with that question. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay, so Ken, have we missed anything here? I think we're covered. We covered the secrets about men and commitment, and we gave two bonus myths, right?
Bonus myths. Can't knock that. That's great.
Exactly.
That's the thing. This is what's so scary. There are so many myths that are floating around that are taken as facts. Because here's what a myth is. A lot of people don't even know what a myth is. A myth is a commonly held belief that is false. But because it's commonly held, we decide it's true. Well, everybody else says so. Everybody else does this. That doesn't mean it's true. I mean, think about like whatever it was 400 years ago when literally everybody in the world thought the world was flat. Did that mean the world was flat? No, it was totally false. The world was still a globe. But if we all agree to believe it, then it's our truth, but it's not the truth. And this is what makes up a myth. So the idea that there's always a string attached when a man does something. Well, everybody else has agreed to it, so it must be true. My mom told me that. I respect my mom, and she's got all this experience. And so my aunt said the same thing, and my best friend, and everybody else. It doesn't make it true. So this is what's so tricky. There's so many of these out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're undermining the reality of experiencing somebody in honesty, in truth, and actually seeing them without all these filters of these myths that don't apply. Mm-hmm. And the other person, and it, I mean, there's some that men have about women too, but the other person sitting there going, what are you talking about? Because you're like, that's not my truth. What's this craziness that's going on? Again, like my friend John is like, why wouldn't they let me help them? He felt terrible. I mean, he's telling me this the next day. It's still bugging him because he was so compelled to help this person out. And now somehow he was made to feel bad about offering that. All right. Because of that.
Right. Well, this has been a great conversation, Ken. I've really appreciated it. It's always so much fun to connect with you. And I love the way you let me just kind of dance and and ask what's coming up for me, and I think your answers are going to be really helpful to all of the women out there. So thank you so much.
You're super welcome. I love doing it.
Yeah, thank you. So you have a free ebook as your free gift, and everyone, you can get that by clicking on the link right below the video or the audio that you're watching or listening from. And Ken, you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, I call it the Passport to Partnership. And actually, we talk about a number of the things that we talked about today in more detail. One of them is needs, for example. We go into an extensive area about that. Because what I talk about in this is really four pillars that are required to have a real partnership. Now, a lot of people have relationships, but that's very different from a partnership. Unfortunately, culturally, we kind of use those two terms interchangeably, but they're not. And so, you know, obviously, we have relationships with everything, the chair you're sitting in, the room you're in. There's a relationship with all those things, but they're not partnerships. Relationships are oftentimes one-sided. And so what this shows you is what's required, what you need to be doing, what you need to have in place so you can have true partnership. And that's what I put together in the book. So enjoy it.
Thank you so much, Kent.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it. So ladies, be sure to click on the link below to get Ken's ebook. And I know you're going to want to stay in touch with him. He has so many wonderful things to share. And you'll definitely have to check out his podcast because he has a wonderful, wonderful podcast. Speaking of partnership, right?
Yep, that is it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can find it on iTunes or Stitcher or any of the places you like to watch podcasts or listen to podcasts.
Yeah, and Ken has been doing this now for how long, Ken? How many?
3 years.
3 years. And he's got amazing, amazing interviews and experts out there. So you'll have to check it out for sure.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah. And Ken and I are both really grateful for you and for your presence here. It's so much fun to do the MAN panel and connect with all of you. And for me, it's great to be able to connect with all of these wonderful male experts and have them so generously share from the male perspective and point of view, because I know that's so valuable for us as women. So we're both sending you love and wishing you well and looking forward to seeing you for more of the MAN panel. Bye-bye for now.
See ya.